Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Alamosa City Manager Heather Sanchez and Public Works Director Harry Reynolds. Welcome to you both. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you here at the end of the year, December. Had a good year?
Yes, absolutely.
Harry, productive year?
Yeah, I think it's one of our best years yet.
Yeah, I mean, you see public works crews out there a lot. You managed a water problem recently.
Yes, we did have a water line issue that
took care of that though.
Those crews.
The only reason I knew that is because I saw the crews out there late one night, yes. And I was like, oh, they must have a water. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a blowout, and the crews did an exceptional job getting on top of it. It took a little bit of time, but they worked till 1:30 in the morning, and then we're back out the next morning. So just kudos to the crew.
Yeah, a lot of thankless work that goes on in public works and across the city of Alamosa. There's a few things we want to cover and talk about today. Want to talk about Alamosa's comprehensive planning process. The city's looking for members to be part of that. We're going to talk about Alamosa's efforts here in 2026 to renew its half-cent sales tax for street dedication, street improvements. We're going to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about downtown, a little bit about housing, other things maybe that come up. But let's start with the comprehensive planning process, because I noticed that you're looking for community members to help you with that. Explain that for us, Heather.
Well, it's one of those projects that may not sound the most exciting, but it's one of the most important projects we're probably undertaking in 2026. The comprehensive plan takes a look at what does the city of Alamosa, the community of Alamosa, want to be in the next 10 years. And so it's going to look at prioritizing our services and what the priorities are of the community when you look at streets and police and parks and recreation and water and all of those different services. It's to help identify where do we need to do better, where are we doing well, and where do we need to focus resources. But it's also going to take a look at the downtown. It's time to renew our housing assessment. It's going to look at water sustainability, climate resiliency because of state mandates. It's a pretty big planning process, and we want to make sure it reflects the whole community. So council would like to appoint individuals from every ward representing different organizations such as ASU, TSC, Economic Development, our major employers, Planning Commission, Rec Board, Main Street Committee. So it's going to be a larger group. It's a two-year planning process. But this is something council will refer back to over and over again when they make decisions in the budget, when they make decisions on adding or changing direction from a resource perspective. It's a big deal.
2 years of planning, too, of what you want Alamosa to be or look like in the future, 5 years, 10 years from now. How does one get on that committee if they're interested?
They can go to the city website and either email the city clerk, or there's actually a link on the website to apply an application. And what I would say, the last time we did this is in 2017. The number one priority for the community was connecting to the river. I think that's probably still important, but it placed higher than police. It placed higher than streets. It placed higher than some areas that traditionally rank pretty high. And I think what we hear in our community from a discussion perspective, when you look at mental health and substance use disorder and homelessness and crime, I think some of the priorities might be different coming out of this discussion. And so it's really important.
So it's an opportunity for a citizen, a community member, to weigh in, to offer their thoughts, to offer their input of what Alamosa should be addressing over the next decade, basically.
Well, and the committee is going to make sure that it's a good process and that we are getting the engagement. But then obviously, we're still going to have a lot of public outreach. There's going to be surveys. There's going to be public open houses. But this committee is to ensure that, are we engaging with everyone? Do we have enough public outreach? Is the process moving along the way it's supposed to? It's to really kind of provide a quality check on the process.
You know, my just kind of experience tracking City Hall or watching City Hall or paying attention to City Council, under your management as city manager, Heather, they really do follow the comprehensive strategic plan. I mean, I can think of things inside the current plan that we're seeing downtown Alamosa, push for outdoor recreation, more trailing. I mean, you do follow that plan, which is really interesting because we hear a lot about plans, but a lot of them collect dust. City of Alamosa actually implements what you come up with through this comprehensive, or it's a really good guidepost, it seems like.
I agree. I feel council is very good at balancing this big picture that the plans create, because if it's based on community input, that's the direction we really want to head in. But then also balancing that with sometimes there's items that come up that are unanticipated, or things may change 5 years into the plan. And so instead of it just being one voice that has council completely changed direction, they can listen to the voice, weigh it against the plan, and really be thoughtful moving forward.
Yeah, we could keep talking quite a bit about strategic planning, comprehensive planning, what Alamosa wants to do, what Alamosa should do, what those priorities are. We can go on and on about that, but we'll let the committee come together first, then we'll look at what they come up with, what the city comes up with. But you have another big effort in 2026, and that is your push, the city of Alamosa's push, to get renewed the half penny dedicated street sales tax. Tell us about that and what that looks like, or how you move forward with that process.
Well, we were very fortunate in 2019 that the voters approved the half cent dedicated sales tax. We put a lot of accountability factors in there. One, it had a 10-year sunset. Two, we based it on a citizen street committee that helped guide the priorities. And again, it represented every ward. Council adopted that through a resolution that then locked in the projects that was in the actual language that was taken to the voters. So even if we got a brand new council and they wanted to do a different street, they legally could not do that. So we wanted to make it as accountable to the voters as possible. That tax has allowed us to, by the time it sunsets, reconstruct over 16 streets, work on sidewalks, do overlays, over $20 million invested directly 100% into streets. But that will sunset in 2029.
Gotcha.
So some people might ask, why are you bringing it in 2026? Essentially, it's a 2+ year process to get a street ready to break ground for construction. You need about a year from a design engineering. You need a year for our partner utilities to maybe move some of their things before we can get in there and actually do the construction. And so it's not a new tax that we're bringing. It's just to extend it for another 10 years. And we're going to follow the same process. We're right now advertising for a citizen street committee. That deadline is December 12th, and it's the same way to apply. Go to the city website, click on the link, and or you can email the city clerk with any questions. But again, we want someone from every ward. And I would say this committee, the last time when they raided all of the streets, council took those and they maybe changed the timing of a few, but they pushed all of those streets forward. So if someone is passionate about the streets and what needs to be done, this is the easiest and most direct way to have an impact on that.
So your expectation is city council will place on the November 2026 ballot the question of renewal for the half penny dedicated street tax. You're expecting that to be on the ballot November 2026.
Correct. Obviously, council hasn't voted on that,
right,
but they've started laying the groundwork for the citizen committee and having discussions related to that. But I think the biggest thing that maybe and people don't realize is when you go to rebuild a street, it cost over $500,000, $540,000, which is why without this dedicated sales tax, we could maybe do, we could stretch it to a block, but we really don't even have $500,000 in the general fund to be able to put towards it.
Yeah, I personally am a proponent of a dedicated half penny tax like this. That's just me, because I do see the good work that happens out there. But I think the other thing the city's experienced since you adopted this, because of the sales tax collections, is you've, I think, collected more than you anticipated, which has allowed you to move that list of projects faster or get to more than you maybe anticipated even when you first put that tax in place, Harry?
Yeah. Oh, it's been super effective. And just to clarify, the $540,000, that's per block to build a street. So, for example, 2nd Street, that ran close to $3.3 million by the time you replaced the infrastructure underneath the road. So it's been a great asset, a tool to improve the quality of life, the street, everything within the community.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the thing that, because we hear street tax, but in reality, you're tearing up streets and putting in curb and gutter, you're changing design. I mean, it's more than a repave or more than new asphalt on 2nd Street or 1st Street or all the other streets you've done.
Yeah, if we've done work in your neighborhood, and you certainly see the extent that we go through, we over-excavate basically 32 inches to get rid of, we have a natural clay layer, get rid of that clay layer and put in a structural base. And from there, you know, we also replace the water and the sewer storm lines. And then we come back and, you know, build it up for in preparation for asphalt and new curb and gutter and sidewalk.
When you think of, well, going forward into 2026 and you have three more years of that funding in place, what are the priorities or what are the priority areas, neighborhoods, as you keep moving on that list?
So 2026, we have planned for Pike Avenue, and that's from the highway to 1st Street. So basically in front of the hospital there. That section there is important. It's, you know, we've got some big plans, future plans of maybe realigning that intersection to Murphy. And then the second project for the Street Trust Fund is West 6th Street, and that's from Washington to Tremont. So it's the same process, complete rebuild, sidewalks, you know, kind of just improving that area that never had stormwater drainage or sidewalks.
You know, that West 6th corridor, that seems to really be one of Alamosa's quickly developing area, neighborhood. You're seeing a lot there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The whole Washington Street, that didn't have any housing 5 years ago, and now there's a bunch of duplexes along there, and then you see the infill along the adjacent streets, West 6th and West 7th.
That Pike project, that street itself is that's a mess in terms of the road.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, right. And yeah. It's had a lot of changes in terms of what's on that street, you know, and it's kind of changed its use, but it is a critical thoroughfare that right off of 1st Street there, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. We've seen the use of that road change over the years. You know, with the building of the elementary schools, that's become kind of an area where people are trying to cross the highway and get to Washington and, you know, instead of going all the way around on Craft and coming, you know, circling back. So we're looking at that intersection, you know, talking to CDOT, you know, eventually sometime in the future we can get that signalized, trying to get some of that internal traffic, you know, across the highway instead of having to go all the way around.
Yeah, I kind of want to ask about that as part of this. I want to come back to the street tax but I think City Hall had a meeting a couple weeks ago about some highway construction or some right in that area, right? What is that? Tell us, just give us that.
Well, the formal name is an access control plan, but essentially what it is looking at is how many pull-ins and pull-outs, right-hand turns, left-hand turns, is there along the highway? So not in the central business district, because that's recently been redone and is pretty solid, but when you look east and west of that, do we need to limit some of those turns because of traffic accidents and risk and those types of things while still balancing access to the businesses? And so looking at all of those areas that you can turn in and off of 160 and to see if there's ways to consolidate some of those entrances so you don't have as much conflict with traffic.
That's one of those longer term projects maybe, or within the next few years, possibly, just because you have CDOT involved and they have a lot of input there. You have funding involved, but potentially, theoretically, maybe someday we'll see a few more lights or another light sequence on the highway there, 160.
Yeah, and I was very excited because we've for a long time heard of the need for another light. And we drive it. We fill it the same way as everyone else. So in there, in the access control plan, and it hasn't been adopted by CDOT or council yet, but it does have a light at Pike Avenue, which we're excited about, especially given the location of the ambulance and the ability to get first responders to where they need to be.
When you think of the streets, Harry, and we talked here about Pike, you can do West 6th. When you think of other streets, what are the other areas are a priority, do you feel, at this time? And I know some of this will get aired out through citizens' committees and input and et cetera, but where do you see or where do you want to keep going after this next group?
You know, as I drive through the city, I look at 3rd Street. It'd be in one of the main corridors on the north side. It's you know, we've got a water line that needs replaced, you know, and so there's a timing issue. Do we go in and replace the water line before, potentially this could be on the next round of streets? I look at Thomas Avenue over there by the middle school, some of that area. And then, of course, the Washington Addition, I'd like to see some of that completed. And then there's some talk of, with this next round, does council want to look even further to the west, Foster Avenue, trying to extend that paving and, provide safe access for all that development to the elementary school. So those are kind of some of the priorities for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of development that's happening in that area that you talked about with that elementary school. And I wonder, Heather, if you're successful in November 2026, and I hope you are, because again, I really like the halfpenny dedicated sales tax, that's just me. But if you are successful, that really sets up the city for another decade to continue to address streets, infrastructure, et cetera. That's a luxury, I would say. Maybe not luxury isn't the right word, but that's a good position for a municipality to be in, to have a dedicated tax committed to streets, street improvements over another decade or plus. That to me would be a win.
I think it's critical. And I know when we look at the miles of streets that we have, it's almost the same distance between here and Walsenburg. And so if you think about trying to maintain that without a dedicated tax, it's almost impossible. And when we look at what the first round did, that committee identified over 80 streets. So we drive the streets. We know what the condition are. And so at that point in time, they identified 80 that needed some repair, but the street tax was only able to get 16 because of how expensive it is. So when you talk another decade, that gives us 10 more years to chip away at that and ensure that we're maintaining this infrastructure. But I do want to circle back around. You made a comment about having a few years of positive sales tax growth coming in and allowing us to fast forward some of those streets, which was great because 2020, 2021, 2022, a little bit, there was a bump because of some of the stimulus checks and the spending that was happening locally. But when we look at our sales tax now, it's balanced back out. And for 2025, we've projected about a 2.75% increase, which only brings in $261,000 from an increase. So if you look at each block costs $540,000, when we stay near that level, it's impossible to grow our way into doing more streets. And so that reinforces the need for the dedicated tax.
Yeah, and I think the other thing on that I'll just note is go into your 2026 operating budget. Really smart budgeting planning by the city of Alamosa in recognizing maybe a slowdown in sales tax collections or maybe a slowdown in the overall economy, not just in Colorado, San Luis Valley, but everywhere. And you budget that way that, hey, maybe we're going into a slower period. Maybe our sales tax collections, our grant revenue, maybe won't be as robust as we've seen it the last period of years. And you budget it accordingly, Heather. Talk about that.
So for 2026, we've got two different types of sales taxes. One that, and several of them are collected just within the city limits. And then there's one we share with the county that's collected countywide. For the one collected countywide, we are projecting just a 1% increase. For those that are collected within the city, so the street sales tax, the rec fund, as well as some of the general fund, we are doing a negative 1% is what we are projecting. And so it's a very, very flat budget. And the only way we can do that without having to cut services is the creativity and the frugalness of our department heads. The ability to manage during that time and keep everything going at the same level, they're just amazing. They really are.
You know, and I will say that even though we're talking a little bit about maybe we'll see a slowdown, maybe we'll see fewer people, maybe we'll see fewer tours, maybe the sales, still, when you look at the city of Alamosa, Alamosa County, East Alamosa, you see progress, you see construction, you see a community that continues to, I think, do pretty well for itself as a small town. In 2025, going into 2026, we see in this town a hotel under construction downtown, a new Love's under construction on the east side of Alamosa on the other side of the bridge. We see a new daycare center under construction at Boys and Girls Club. We see housing under construction, major housing, hundreds of units on Craft Drive in Alamosa. We see infill projects. Boyd School is one of those infill projects. My point is that Alamosa, I think, is doing pretty good for itself in today's world. That's just a look at that. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
When someone asks me, what do I like most about my job? What do I think we're accomplishing the most? I think it's this community focus of moving forward. It's almost every key partner having the same vision of wanting to make Alamosa better and move it forward and working together. So when you look at the city of Alamosa, when you look at Alamosa County, when you look at the visitor center, then the chamber, and then you look at our major employers and then TSC and ASU, we're all seeming to be on the same page, and that starts to create momentum. And so even if it's a year where maybe the city is a little bit slower, you look at TSC and ASU talking about major construction projects in 2026, or you look at CRHDC doing the housing development. So it's amazing to see that momentum, especially from a rural perspective, because I don't think you're going to find that everywhere in rural Colorado.
Yeah, I think that's the important note, is from a rural perspective. And you're seeing a town, a small town, continue to find its way. And that's not an easy thing when you're dealing with small populations and small tax bases because of those small populations. That's not an easy thing to what you guys are doing in terms of maintaining Alamosa. I want to thank you for that, because it's my hometown. And I like to see the healthiness of this community, and I think is pretty healthy, Harry.
You know, it's such a great place to live. You know, I don't want to say slow and steady, but we're just consistent and steady in growth. We don't have the peaks and valleys you see in other areas. We're just a nice community that's steadily moving forward in a positive way.
Hey, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about downtown Alamosa, the new hotel coming downtown. We're going to talk about housing. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
It's been a tough year for many folks in Monta Vista. As the holidays approach, a lot of us are feeling tired or anxious, but good things are still happening all around us. This year alone, the Lohr Foundation has partnered with your friends and neighbors to bring more than 75 community-driven projects to life, making things a little brighter here at home. Lohr funds ideas designed and led by Monta Vista locals of all ages, no nonprofit experience required. Whether it's helping neighbors save time or money, supporting families, or creating something that brings people together, your ideas can make a real impact. All it takes to get started is a simple conversation. And once your idea is approved, most projects receive funding within 30 days. So let's close out the year stronger together. Visit lohrfoundation.org or email yvette@lohrfoundation.org to learn more.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Alamosa City Manager Heather Sanchez and Public Works Director Harry Reynolds. We've been talking about the City of Alamosa's upcoming push for the renewal of its dedicated half-penny street sales tax, talking about the progress from Alamosa that we're seeing, and it's countywide. I mean, there's a big solar project that the commissioners are dealing with that is huge, 600 megawatts of solar, which is massive, plus storage, 600 megawatts out there near Mosca. That is more solar than we even have right now. But it's a big project. That'll be a big construction project too if it happens in 2027. That's another good one. But I want to bring up the hotel that's going up, the new Marriott Springfield Suites. I was on the roof last week. I went and visited my buddy Scott Van Giesen. We went to kindergarten together all the way through high school, Scott and I. And I asked him, it was a really clear day. And I said, Scott, I want to go up and see that view from the top. Because it was, so he took me up there and then he walked me through the project and 90 rooms. And it just hit me how big that hotel is and is going to be in terms of the number of rooms. What I'm interested in, and I said this a couple of days, two questions for me come up. When you build that hotel and you open it, will downtown businesses, existing merchants, amend, change to cater to a downtown hotel, change their business hours, change what they offer, whatever, because you have a new clientele showing up? And two, will new businesses emerge downtown to continue to create more offerings, more opportunities, whether you're a resident or someone staying at the downtown hotel, the downtown Marriott? Those are my two questions. I want to get your thoughts first, Heather, on what's your expectations? What are your hopes when it comes to that downtown hotel? It's a private project.
So I will say, from working in downtown economic development for about 20 years, getting a downtown hotel is always at the top of the list for any downtown. And it's because of the economic impact that that hotel can have on what is usually locally owned businesses. And so when you talk about being able to put money into the pockets of locally owned businesses that then go through the economy over and over again and invest in little leagues and all of those types of things, that's a key economic driver. And I will say, working with Kathy Woods and as in her role as economic development director, the type of questions she's getting for new vacancies has already started to change. There's already a change in the amount of interest as well as the type of interest. And people are definitely watching what's going on there and trying to anticipate how they might be able to make that work for their business. And I know our Main Street committee has also always been very supportive of it and very excited. They realize during construction, there's some inconveniences and things like that, but having 90 rooms with people coming in and more than likely eating and shopping in the downtown is going to be a big economic impact.
That's a really interesting opportunity for the city of Alamosa, Harry.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know that we could have asked for a better business to go downtown and the immediate impact it's going to have.
You know, when I was talking to Scott, he was pointing out, and I understood this, but all the infrastructure, all the utilities that are in that corridor of 6th Street, Main Street, the alleyways that come through there. And I know the city of Alamosa has had a plan to address the alleyways, to clean them up, to make them attractive. I'm not sure. What's up with the alleyways, Harry?
I look over at Heather and she's smiling. This has been a priority project for Heather. And it's exciting because our alleyways, you know, they're old, grungy looking alleyways that we have right now. And in the heart of our downtown, this alley beautification project is going to be very nice. So this year we're going to be working on the south side of Main Street, between Edison and Hunt Avenue. So there's three alleys in between those streets. And we'll go through and we're going to, you know, update and repair some of the infrastructure. We're going to do some stormwater management. So basically we're going to flow the water that's coming off the buildings to the south side where we can kind of manage it a little bit better. And then there's a lot of aesthetic work that's going to go into it. You know, we're trying to make it more pedestrian friendly. Someplace that where as you're coming from the parking lots to the back of those buildings, that you get a sense of the downtown and, you know, some excitement and just beautifying the area.
Do you think you'll do the power lines overhead? And because I know that's an expensive proposition to try to bury your overhead power lines so that they're not having that aesthetic effect as you go through alleyways.
Yeah. I wish we could say we were, but we've been working on that one 4 years, maybe 5 years with Excel, trying to find a plan that would work for both parties, Excel to get their undergrounds underground, but there's real estate issues. Where can they put all their infrastructure, all the transformers that have to go to place? But then the city at that point has to fund all the lateral services, the new services to all those businesses. So we just weren't able to make it to pencil out and work, but we're expecting them to clean it up. The big lines will remain, but they're cleaning them up and trying to make it a little bit nicer aesthetically.
Yeah, when I think of those alleyways and I'm coming around, I'm staying at the new Springfield Suites and I'm coming out there and I'm walking downtown, I do walk through those alleyways because of where they can take me, and even into the back of a restaurant like the Purple Pig, you can enter it that way, the Mammoth Spud Shop there, you can enter it through the alleyway, right? And I wonder about those alleyways and if they're going to help cater or direct people that way.
Well, and I think some people can wonder why the alleys were such a prominent theme in the downtown plan, but you've just hit on it. It connects so many things. It encourages people to walk around and enter the businesses. It encourages people, if they're visible from the street, to maybe stop. But sometimes, no matter what downtown you're talking about, there can be parking issues. And so it helps connect parking safely to the businesses and to help enhance the utilization of parking lots that then can complement the on-street parking. And so when you have the alleyways feeling comfortable, they can serve so many things. And then long term, if we are ever successful in getting grants, because that is the only way it can happen, and really extending the sidewalk along Main Street so you don't have that double curb, it requires you to change the stormwater and all of that kind of stuff. So it's pretty expensive. But if we can get grants to finally have that phase happen, those businesses need the rear access to survive that construction time. And so having the alleyways in place now better positions us to do that sometime in the future.
And when you think about we started this conversation about the comprehensive planning process for City of Alamosa, the downtown has been a big part of your current comprehensive planning process, right? And the emergence of downtown, which we've seen over the last 5 years or so. Are you still taking heat on the parking, Heather?
I think that will be an ongoing issue. It's something where you never have the parking right in front of the store, which can be aggravating. But if you look at the Walmart effect and how far people walk in the parking lot to Walmart versus if you park just one block away in the downtown, or trying to make people more aware of where the parking lots are, if they don't want to parallel park, all of those things. I don't think for some in our community, the frustration of the two lanes and the sense of making it feel where it's closer so you slow down, I'm not sure for some that's ever going to go away, but I would say the success is in the fact of what's happened in regards to who's gone downtown from a business perspective, the vacancy rates dropping, all of those types of things. And finally, succeeding in that goal, the number one goal of the downtown plan was to make it feel safer for pedestrians. And I feel when you're crossing the street now, people are likely to stop. You can get across. You're not starting past one lane and someone's still whizzing by as often. I'm not going to say it's perfect because
that is the one not for you, is that parking downtown. But I really appreciate City Hall's very sensitive. It seems like, maybe not sensitive, but you when people have something to say, you hear it. Mm-hmm. You listen to them and you. Sometimes you even try to figure it out. I don't know how you can satisfy everyone. I don't think you can. But I will say that City Hall, your administration, all your department heads are very responsive to the community, to the public, at least from what I've seen. Very responsive. I appreciate that. Let's finish this with just housing, because that's always been a big topic. And for me, Heather, it just feels like Alamos has done a really good job of addressing its housing situation. I don't know where you feel we are in terms of needs for more housing, but it feels like you have done a really good job of creating more housing.
about 6 years ago, housing wasn't something the city discussed very much, but we realized we probably were in the middle of a crisis, but we didn't have numbers to be able to put words to it. And we also realized the state was gearing up to do substantial grants for housing, and we weren't prepared to be able to capitalize on that. So when we did the housing assessment and the housing plan, that really was to try to better understand what's going on in housing, to be able to put words to it, and then to set us up to be a flow through for grants. And I would say that's been very successful. So we now know that we are in a housing crisis. We can say that with confidence. We're about 500 housing units in the hole. And again, that's not 500 people need to move here. That's for the supply and demand metrics to work to make it affordable. We need 500 more housing units for existing population. And so knowing that, we were able to apply for grants along with our partners and funnel over $10 million to these partners to help with a housing perspective. One of the largest one is CRHDC. They've got phases one and two that's already broken ground on the infrastructure, and then the vertical, the actual housing units, will start in 2026. So I think over $6 million from a grant perspective flowing to that. Boyd School is another housing project where several million dollars have flowed through for that. We're also working with SLV Housing Coalition on Century Mobile Home Park to maintain affordable housing and to help them be able to get that park where it needs to be. And so there's been a lot of work with that partner as well. But the city is not a housing entity. And so without our partners, we wouldn't be able to do traction at all. And I can't forget about Horizon Heights. That's another partnership with SLV Housing Coalition. So they are managing it. But we were able to get a grant that paid for 95% of that construction.
Horizon Heights is the transitional housing put in place on Airport Road there by Alamosa Parks and Rec area. You're happy with what Horizon Heights has done. I know Don Malgaris is happy with it.
Oh, yeah. And council's very excited about it. Their success rate is in the 90 percentile of helping individuals come in, get on their feet, and then get into more long-term housing. The longest someone can be there is, I believe, 2 years. It's six-month leases, and individuals have been able to transition into the more long-term housing. And there has been one or two individuals who've been asked to leave because their behavior wasn't conducive to the living environment. And so it is working the way it really needs to work. And it's helping those who can't, either because of something on their record or they don't have a rental history or something, that they can't get into what is a very tight competitive rental market.
Harry, give us some perspective to the housing development off Craft, which is the community resource development project, right? The 100, 200 homes coming in there. Because that's another major subdivision going up, another major road project, everything going in there. Give us some perspective about the growth in that area.
You know, I think that is going to be our natural growth area for many years to come. But it does have an impact on infrastructure. You know, we have to plan accordingly, you know, our upstream impact and what it has downstream. So whatever builds up there, we have to be able to accommodate and account for it downstream. So there's some impact there. The single family homes that are being built, multifamily homes that are being built, the list goes on and on of how good this is going to be for the community, but also the positive impact that it's going to have kind of in that area.
Well, I would anticipate, just me, that as that gets built and as people start to live out there, we're talking Craft, 10th Street, Co-op Road, you can access it off the highway. You could get there 285, 160, I'm sorry. As I think of that, there's got to be then development around it, retail, restaurants, whatever. I don't know. So you don't have to get back on 160, get back to the other side, that because it seems like there's going to be enough people in that corridor. And then when you think of South Alamosa, 10th Street, and how you get there, it seems like that part of town might see some other development. That's just me.
You know, I think right now it's only looking at residential, but a lot of it depends as you get closer to the highway. So we're a little bit, two or three blocks off the highway. That corridor on the, I would say, the south side of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
You know, some of that could definitely be commercial.
Yeah. It seems like there's opportunity for a developer to come in and complement what is going in there when it comes to housing and other things. It seems like there's more potential there for development. That's just me just thinking ahead.
Well, and I would say also the area, as you look at that and you move a little further east, there's a lot of infill opportunities of big tracts of land, which helps from an infrastructure perspective. And I agree with what you're saying, but ironically, again, back to Kathy Woods, she has been trying to work with the property owner of the property that's right across from the Boys and Girls Club on 285, which would be great for retail and other types of services. And they're just not getting any bites. And so great visibility, a lot of traffic counts, but it's been a hard property to get someone excited about.
Just being 285 versus 160 is a big driver of that.
In terms of the amount of traffic that is coming through there, 160, obviously a lot more going west or coming east in as opposed to heading south out of Alamosa. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are opportunities, and my guess will be that the city of Alamosa County, will continue to find growth, continue to find new investment, continue to find new life for itself as we move forward into this, and that's just my prediction.
I like that one.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I really appreciate you coming in, talking to us, giving us some of your time, giving us some of the time about all the thing you're doing there, Harry. Appreciate you guys coming in here.
Thank you.
Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod in our episode with Alamosa City Manager Heather Sanchez, Public Works Director Harry Reynolds. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.